Ladies and gentlemen, on today, the 11th day of July, 2024, the New York Mets are tied for a wild card spot. The New York Mets, whose season was left for dead even before it began. The New York Mets, too many teams they need to climb over. It's impossible. The New York Mets on the 11th day of July in the Lord's name. I don't know what that means, but I think I've heard it once. The New York Mets are now percentage points ahead.
I think it's year of our Lord, by the way.
Year of our Lord. Let me try that again. On the 11th of July, 2024, the year of our Lord, the New York Mets are percentage points ahead of the San Diego Padres. Two games ahead in the loss column. If the season ended today, the New York Mets would be in the wild card series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's freaking go. They have won three in a row against the Washington Nationals. They have gotten off to a wonderful start on this homestand. And for the first time since mid-April, when the New York Mets had a record of 12-10, I should say 13-11. For the first time since April 24th, when they were 13-11, the New York Mets are two games above 500. What do you got to say now?
Congrats.
Thank you.
Exciting. I predicted it.
Did you?
I said they're going to sweep the Nationals, and they're going to sweep the Colorado Rockies. And they're going to the All-Star break and be like feeling really good about themselves.
I thought you told me in May they should trade everybody. Mm. I thought you told me in May, this is an evaluation season.
That was May. it is now July.
So for many years.
And almost mid-July somehow.
Somehow, some way. For many, many years, I've repeated a sentence that I'm going to share with you on the radio. I've said it to friends, and I certainly said it on the Rico earlier this year. I said that even if my brain tells me the New York Mets or any team I root for isn't very good, you still watch because you never know.
Yeah.
You still watch because you never know when your season happens to be the one that we're going to talk about years from now. And so when I sat there in 2009 and 2010 and 2011 and 2012 and 2013 and 2014, I probably uttered the same thing to Beningo at some point. Like, hey, you never know, it's baseball. And you watch because things can turn when you least expect it. Very rarely do they actually turn. And this season, from the dips of hell, has somehow turned.
Yeah.
And even when it was stopping, remember the OMG concert? Remember losing those two games to the Astros? Remember that? Remember losing the two games to Washington?
Yep.
Remember the party poopers that told you this now turns the Mets season back the other way?
Uh-huh.
Well, the Mets have responded. And they still have a long way to go. And I make that very clear. The Mets haven't accomplished anything yet. I understand that. Well, they have accomplished something. They've unburied their season. They have made the 2024 season a season.
Which is amazing, given where they started.
Incredible!
And they still have the same issue, but they're somehow still winning.
Somehow, some way!
Because the issue was the bullpen. The issue was losing games that you're in position to win, meaning eighth inning or later, blowing multiple save opportunities and multiple big leads. Some of those leads were felt insurmountable with two innings ago. But they still do those things.
Well, they do those things, but the one thing they do very differently, and this was what gave me hope at the beginning of this season when we had conversations in March, was they will score runs.
Yeah.
And that's the big difference. The Mets are scoring runs, and the Mets are winning games. And that's why when a trial balloon is thrown out there, and that's what I think this is, you have to sit for a second before you scream and yell. You've got to pause yourself for a second before you get all reactionary, and you've got to give something thought. Earlier today, before the New York Mets defeated the Washington Nationals 7-0 behind six scoreless innings from David Peterson, Jim Bowden put an article out.
Okay.
And much like a lot of things in our media today, you should read the whole article. Because one part of the article, which was released and regurgitated everywhere, even on my own text chains, said the Houston Astros have talked to the New York Mets about Pete Alonso and Luis Severino. And so you see that, and you hear that, and you say, what? Like, are the New York Mets engaging in a trade of that variety? And that was what was put out there. But the other part of Jim Bowden's article, who, by the way, I don't really trust that much. They're just me. I'll get into my reasons maybe at a later date.
Okay.
He also wrote about the New York Mets. The Mets are a half game out of a wild card spot, which has essentially taken Pete Alonso off the trade market. However, they are keeping an open mind and might end up doing some buying and selling at the trade deadline. So you read that sentence. By the way, I think that sentence is spot on. I agree with Jim Bowden. Like, the New York Mets may do some buying and selling. I've talked to you about that.
Right.
I'm open to trading Luis Severino in the right deal.
Right, as long as it gets you back the right kind of reliever who is what they need.
Absolutely. In fact, he says the Houston Astros. I'll get specific with you. Mm-hmm. We don't have to play any guessing games. If the Houston Astros and Dana Brown called me up, and I'm Billy Epler, and I'm David Stearns, mm-hmm. sorry, I'm stuck in a year ago, and said, hey, I'm really interested in Pete Alonso and Luis Severino, I'd say, look, you're not getting Pete Alonso. Because I can't see a trade that would make sense for me. But if you want Luis Severino and you're sending back Brian Abreu, we can have a conversation. If you're acquiring Luis Severino and you're sending back Ryan Pressly, these are two high-end Astro relievers, we can have a conversation. And that's the kind of win-now, sell-by trade I'd be open to. Trading Pete Alonso at this point, with a season that has not been great, all-star or not, mm-hmm. with the Mets succeeding the way they're succeeding, does not make any sense.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. So I'm not angry. I'm not screaming and yelling. I'm just going to be honest with you that I don't buy that. I think David Stearns is a smart enough guy to know that on a lot of different levels, trading Pete Alonso in the middle of July when you're in a real wild card race with him having a mediocre season doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, because there's a chance and there's all likelihood at some point he gets hot and he just helps you
right.
get pushed to the playoffs. But the question is less about whether or not David Stearns would do this, but whether or not they actually floated this. Like, there was an intermediary somewhere that pushed this out just to hear the reaction.
Just to see.
Just to see. Just to see what Met fans would say.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I don't know because I don't search social media for these things. Mm-hmm. But I would guess that there was a handful of Met fans that were like, okay, great. Give us something big back important back.
I'll give you a great example. My boy Al Cintron, who works here at WFAN, was one of the guys who texted me.
Mm-hmm.
And Al responded. He sent me the link, which I love you, Al, but again, only sent me the link that featured the part about the Astros talking about Alonso, not the Met part where Bowden says they have essentially taken Pete Alonso off the trade market, and said, oh, cool, I'll take Kyle Tucker back. And I said, Al, they're not trading Kyle Tucker. Like, but I understand his thought.
Yeah.
Like, one thing I've said to you before, I'm open to any kind of trade, but it has to make sense.
Yeah, of course.
And it also has to be realistic. Like, the Astros are not trading Alex Bregman for Pete Alonso. They're not trading Kyle Tucker for Pete Alonso. They would be trading one of their prospects. And by the way, they don't have a top 100 prospect. By the way, their system is ranked 27th in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. So it's not a great farm system. So they would have to trade one of those non-prospects plus relief help to make the deal worth it. But I think if you're the Mets and you're trading Pete Alonso, you can't trade and buy at the same time. You can do that with Severino. I don't think you can do that with your cleanup hitter and say, we're going to sell him, but we're still trying to win. That's a real contradiction and is not realistic.
Right. It just creates a bigger problem. Now, you solve one, maybe, but you're talking about a reliever. You're not talking about a starting pitcher who's an ace. You're talking about a reliever who's going to give you however many innings that are left in the regular season. But you create a bigger problem because
right.
you get rid of Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
And so now how do you fill that?
I'll tell you how they would fill it. They'd fill it by calling up Rhett Beatty, and Mark Fientos would play first base.
Yeah, but would that be great?
No, that's not.
Would you be excited about that?
No, I'd be pissed.
The answer is no.
I'd be pissed.
You'd be pissed for two reasons. One, because Pete Alonso is out the door, and you're pissing him off, and he might not re-sign with you because of that.
He's not re-signing with the Mets. That whole, it's a fallacy.
Right.
I don't buy that for a second.
If he's traded away.
If he's traded away, right. Let me make that clear.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Don't take me out of context.
That's what I mean. So that's my point.
Yes.
And then two, Rhett Beatty's not filling that hole adequately enough.
No, he's not.
And
that's
so,
not a team.
It doesn't make sense.
That's not a team serious about winning.
Yeah.
So one guy who I respect the opinion of, and I've heard say this because we've had these arguments off air and you've heard them on air, mm-hmm. is Brandon has always said they should have traded Pete Alonso last year. And by the way, while I disagreed with him, fine, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Doing it now when you're in a pennant race and when he's not having a great year,
yeah.
doesn't make sense.
It's also,
as much as I disagreed with Brandon, I understood doing it during the offseason. Doing it now, because of those two things I mentioned, would not only alienate your fan base, but you would diminish your chances of winning. And oh, by the way, here's the other part. You're not getting anything great back.
Yeah.
So why would you do it?
Yeah, no.
You'd be better off letting him leave as a free agent and yet using the compensatory pick than taking back an astro middling prospect and diminishing your chances of winning in 2024. So I'm talking passionately, but trust me, I'm not screaming because I'm angry, because I'm not angry. I don't think they'll do it, because I don't think David Stearns would do something
foolish. But that's not what I even asked. Do you think they floated it?
Yes, I think that they like to hear what the fans think. You heard what Dion and Joe Shane talked about.
Yeah.
Dion, who's, what's his full name, by the way? I forget
his last name.
I'm sorry, I'll just call him Mr. Dion.
Yeah.
Who is a PR guy for the Giants, was on Hard Knocks talking to Joe Shane about what Twitter thinks about the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, there are people within every organization that are checking in on Sports Talk Radio, they're checking in on Twitter. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a little bit of a, hey, what would the fan base think of this? And I think most sane Met fans would say, it's just stupid. Even if you don't love Pete Alonso, it's just about, what do you think you're getting back for a guy who's not having a great year that diminishes your chances of making the playoffs this year?
Yeah, it's not like he's going to go someplace else and they're going to say, you know what? The Mets were using you wrong. We're going to make you the star that you've always been. Hey, that's not what you think, right? When you trade for somebody.
And also, what are you
trading? Yeah, you're trading for someone who's hot in the moment.
Right.
And can potentially, and in Pete Alonso's case, I don't think it's a building block trade, who would trade for him. It's someone who...
It's a rental.
It's a rental.
Yes.
Who needs a bat and believes that they can help. He can help them win a World Series.
Yes.
That's the only reason you would do that for Pete Alonso.
Now, I do think that having a conversation with Dana Brown in Houston about Luis Severino makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Met fans, you watch this team. I know they won today 7-0. It's the first time they've shut out a team all year. Last team in Major League Baseball to execute a shutout. Their starting pitching has pitched really well here in July. Their bullpen continues to be a problem. I know that ideally you would just like to add bullpen help without giving anything up. But in this weird world that we live in where everybody thinks they're a contender, I would absolutely be open. And I've said this before about taking a starting pitcher and trading that guy for a reliever. That's not a sell move. That's a strategic move. But trading Pete Alonso right now in the circumstances we live in today, and I'm stripping out the emotion. I've had the emotional conversation. I'm not having it today on July 11th. Mm-hmm. I'm having a serious conversation about where the Mets are, about what their lineup is, and about what he can get in the open market.
Yeah.
They're not getting a top-level prospect for him. And even if you did, you're diminishing your chances greatly at a playoff run this year. That doesn't make sense.
But I got to tell you, it just makes no sense with the way that they played over the last month and a half. Makes no sense.
To trade him. Yeah.
Because there's a real chance that they become one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yes.
Now, they're not. They're not guaranteed to be what the Phillies were or what the Diamondbacks were a year ago, but they still have a chance to be that team.
Right.
I mean, they are now finally doing what they're supposed to be doing as a team that's just above average, because that's how I described them. When you gave what are the Mets a question on Monday, I think that was. They're just above average, and they're supposed to beat the bad teams.
Right.
And they be competitive against everybody else.
Right.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're beating the bad teams. And maybe every now and then, the top teams in the respective leagues or divisions or whatever it may be, maybe you steal one of those here or there.
Absolutely.
But they're winning the games they're supposed to win.
Now, let me throw something at you, because I am giving you an assumption that I have that the New York Mets, even if they wanted to, wouldn't be getting a top prospect for Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
One of the other teams that would be interested in Pete Alonso are the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers have a loaded farm system.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. Now, if the Brewer, and this is a very, to me it's not difficult, but maybe to many Met fans it would be, to those that would be open to trading Pete or don't want him back next year for whatever reason. You think he's on the decline, you think he's a doofus, you don't think he can run the bases because of last night. Whatever the reason, fine. The Brewers have a loaded farm system. If the Brewers called up the Mets and made them an offer for Pete Alonso that I don't think exists, but a really good offer with top prospects, would you actually be okay trading your cleanup hitter while tied for a playoff spot to the team you'd play in the first round of the playoffs? Like, even if they gave you a ridiculously good prospect. Like, one of their prospects, who's a top 100 prospect, is a first baseman by the name of Tyler Black. Like, even if they gave you that, and they won't, Would you really, as a Met fan, two games above 500,
no,
lined up to play the Brewers, be okay with that?
No, because fate's going to come back and kick you in the ass. 100%.
There is no way on earth I would do that. Pete Alonso, if he's healthy, is going to hit 500 home runs. So unless this guy I'm getting back or both are going to go over 500, no way. This idea also, too, because you hear this a lot, where is Pete Alonso declining? Where is the decline?
He's had a worse season the last 2 years than his prime.
He hit 46 home runs.
No one said he didn't, but I love Pete. Let's be factual about this. His numbers, for whatever reason, have declined. His OPS numbers have gone down. Like, he hit 217 last year as a career 250 hitter. Before that, a career 260 hitter. So I'm not arguing with you because I'm a Pete guy. But again, when we talk about declining, and this year he's only hit 18 home runs.
Doubles are up, though. And to me, when I look at doubles and I look at home runs, I always combine both numbers because you could hit like 50 doubles like right. a Jose Ramirez does way, and hits 25 home runs.
That's the slugging percentage.
Correct.
Which is down 50 points.
Yes.
But it's so only midway through the season here. When I grew up and when we were growing up, Evan, I was told chicks dig the long ball, and they still do. This guy's here to hit 46 home runs.
Loogie.
Until that declines, he's not a declining player.
But his numbers have declined over the last 3 years. That's just a fact. That doesn't mean it's going to continue, by the way.
Homers have gone up all last 3 years.
But it's not all just about home runs. Mm-hmm. But my point is, I agree with you, but what you did that I have not done yet is he brought in the emotion because he talked about 500 home runs.
Yeah,
I have not. I have merely stuck to the script of 2024.
Who cares about 500 home runs until you win a World Series?
Well, and also, I'm not even talking about the offseason. I'm talking about right now, in this moment, it is July 11th. The New York Mets are a wild card team. They would play the Brewers in the first round. Pete Alonso, yes, not the greatest year in the world, has hit 18 home runs and is the cleanup hitter of this team. If they trade him and they're getting prospects back, even if they're the greatest prospects, you are greatly diminishing your chances in 2024. Are you willing to do that? Because you're getting a prospect. I think it's easy when it's not a prospect like Houston. If it's a top prospect, it's a little bit more difficult. But even I would say I can't pull
the
trigger on that.
And I've said all season long that the Mets should buy at the deadline. They should do everything they can to make the postseason. So I'm bringing the emotion in because I love Pete Alonso. But all along I've said they should be buyers and they should be doing whatever they can do to get to October. So I'm combining both.
I understand. I'm open to selling select pieces in the right deals. Trading Pete Alonso would be the ultimate ballsy, I'm going to test the market David Stearns move. If in the middle of a pennant race, he took the cleanup hitter and one of the faces of the franchise and traded him for a reliever and a prospect.
That would be...
Stones.
That would yes, but it would also be making his mark on this team.
Is that the mark you want to make?
It depends on if it works. And that would be... A calculation that in analytics that only he would privy to.
Here's the problem with it working or not. So even if you got back a prospect that turned out to be a great player, would you agree that if the Mets, and I don't think they will, but if the Mets ever decided to trade Pete Alonso in a year in which they're in a wild card race, that would greatly diminish their chances of making the playoffs? Would you agree with that? Do you think the Mets would still make the playoffs? With Brett Beatty at third base and Mark Vientos at first base?
No, if the problem is you keep throwing in Brett Beatty, and so as soon as you
that's my assumption of who would replace him.
As soon as you say Brett Beatty, it makes me think that he's not filling the bat role.
But that's who would fill his role.
I understand that, but that's what throws you off.
Okay, well, I'm gonna give you the facts.
But if it's somebody else, I don't know who that would be.
Let's
just say it's somebody.
Well,
else.
They're not trading for Christian Walker. If they trade Pete Alonso,
I think the biggest challenge, you know, in evaluating Pete's worth is that they're winning and he's not been great.
I agree with that.
Right? And so he's not the guy. He's not the catalyst.
He has not been. He doesn't deserve to be an all-star. He's not the MVP of the team. With that said, if they trade him, their chances of making the postseason greatly diminish. Fact or not fact? You can't tell me it doesn't.
Yeah.
And don't cite war with me.
It's not war. What is Pete going forward? Like, I believe that he'll be more of what Loogie's saying. Pete will be more of a masher. And Pete may hit 25 home runs in the second half. Who knows? I think that's more of who he is, and eventually he's got to become that. But they're winning right now in this hot streak, and it's not because of him.
And that excites me because Pete is due for a hot streak, and if he gets hot, which I ultimately think he will,
are they
and
winning
his numbers,
the World Series? I think this is what it comes down to.
Don't play that game with me because you know what I'm going to tell you. If they make the playoffs, they can win the World Series. And I've said that about every team that's made the playoffs. That's not a Met fanboy comment. That's a fact.
No, you're probably right. But they're not winning it if they don't get bullpen help.
Okay, I agree with you.
Period.
And clearly, I mean, even in the 7-0 win,
you a bullpen help. Does that change? No. Does that sway it?
No, right? Because that is the ultimate robbing Peter to play Paul. Like, I get people argue that with me with trading a starting pitcher for bullpen help. I think it's a little bit different. I think all those guys are very replaceable. Like, Kodai Senga is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they're going to go with a 6-man rotation. I get that. But I think that replacing Severino is not impossible.
Yeah.
But if you ever did trade Pete, and again, I don't think it makes sense to, because I don't think you're getting that much back.
No, I think it was just, this honestly just feels like a reaction test. And I don't know who leaked it. It wasn't David Stearns. He didn't give this directly.
Let's see what Met fans say.
But somebody, yeah, it was, let's do a reaction.
Yeah.
This is a good point, because everybody feels good, even though we're not going to the games. They feel good about this team, right? How can you not feel good about this team?
You got to feel good.
So let me just throw this out there while the emotions are high. If the emotions were low, if the record was flipped over the last month and a half, it'd be like, dude, get the hell out of here.
We don't even want you anymore.
You
know how I know Met fans are high on this team? I have a litmus test.
Go ahead.
There is a guy that when he starts to get excited about the Mets, I know, oh, wow, people are getting excited. And that guy is a guy who is in the building at this game today. And I don't think he's been to a game all year long, which proves he's getting excited.
Oh.
And that guy is Greg Giannotti. He is the ultimate curmudgeon when it comes to the Mets. 80% of the time he's right, by the way. When he starts to believe, that's when you know they're turning the Met fan who's negative around. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard he was in the building today. Mm.
Did he stay for the whole game?
Well, in fairness to him, let me defend him. I don't know if he did, but he brought his daughters. Very unlikely he stayed the whole game, which I don't blame him
for. Are they young or old?
His daughters are young, yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah. No, he didn't say that.
Now, he's in a suite, which makes it easier. Nah, it's still tough, man.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you're up 7-0, even with this bullpen, you're like, maybe I can leave. Let's get to some of your phone calls. And again, real quick, Jim Bowden, the reporter who threw this out there today, the Mets have essentially taken Pete Alonso off the trade market. So he has said that. 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from South Boundbrook, New Jersey. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I was listening to the guys earlier, and I agree with you, Evan. You know, I think, you know, you got to think about the chemistry of the team right now, too, I think, a little bit. You know, you can't be like, oh, well, you know, we got to trade him now so we get something. Well, you're probably not going to get anything as good or better, you know, and you can't plug anybody in there who's as good or better right now on this team. So, you know, I think it's a bad idea to trade him. You know, like when we lost Diaz, look what happened, right? The chemistry went in the toilet. You know,
well,
and I think that could happen if you trade a guy like Pete. You know,
well, I asked Tiki this 3 days ago, but I'm going to ask him again for the sake of chemistry. Pete Alonso cost Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor berths on the All-Star game because Pete said, "Hey, if I'm not an All-Star, I ain't going to be in the Home Run Derby," and we all know. That's what made him an All-Star. Not Pete's fault, by the way. He was just being honest. So do you think that Lindor and Nimmo would be like, good, let's get that doofus out of here?
No, no chance.
Okay.
Again, I said this yesterday. They're happy for Pete Alonso. They're just disappointed that they were, I don't know, they get screwed.
Yes. So
they really did.
I think
especially,
that.
Especially Nimmo.
Yeah, I mean, look, they both deserve to be All-Stars. I was looking closely at some of the guys that made the All-Star team over those guys. And what I would tell you is if you want to hear me break that down, listen to Rico Bronya. I'm not going to bore that with you right now. But I do believe in getting the most for guys. And again, if you were a proponent, and some were. I wasn't, by the way. I'm not saying I was. I've never wanted to trade Pete Alonso. I still don't want to trade Pete Alonso. But if you were a proponent of trading him during the offseason or trading him last year makes a lot more sense than trading him now.
Agreed.
A lot more sense. And I know David Stearns is new and he's taken over, but if you didn't do it during the offseason when you could have had the clean slate if that's what you wanted, doing it with the two factors that to me make it impossible. A, the Mets are good, and B, he's not having a great year. So you're not getting some marvelous return. Look, I stand by the fact you'll get a better prospect based on the compensatory pick you'll get for losing him as a free agent than you will from the crappy Astros. The Mets already took their best prospects. That's called the Justin Verlander trade.
Yes.
He's about to be traded again.
That's right. No, not just Verlander. Max Scherzer's going to be traded
again.
They
both are.
Verlander's not going to be traded. The Astros are trying to win. If Dana Brown's trying to trade for Pete Alonso, he's going to try to win. Let's go to Jeff down in Florida. What's up, Jeff? What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you doing,
good.
Guys?
What's up?
Yo.
Yeah, so as a Mets fan, obviously feeling a lot better than a few weeks ago. Obviously, they need to add about three more arms in that bullpen. At least two, but I'd take three. I mean, who do you trust besides the new guy, Nunez and Diaz? I mean, Buto's good, but he's going to be more of a long reliever.
I think that Jose Buto is entering that circle of trust because I think that he's not going to be used as a long reliever. In fact, we haven't seen him yet used as a long reliever. They're throwing him into that high leverage spot. Now, will he fail? We'll see. But right now, when you ask me the circle of trust, which is a comment that you and I use it, right, Loogie? Who do I use Circle of Trust with a lot? I use it with some Met fans.
You and I use it together.
We do use it together.
Correct.
See? We have a bond. Right now, my Circle of Trust, I'll tell you who's in my Circle of Trust, is Edwin Diaz because he has to be, Deadnell Nunez because he's awesome, and Jose Buto has just entered it. I am not putting Phil Maton in it because he pitched a nice, easy 1-2-3 inning in his Met debut. You have to earn the circle of trust, Tiki. You don't just get to walk right in. So I have three guys in my circle of trust.
I have those three guys. I also have Sean Reed Foley.
Okay. He's injured, bro.
He is. Yeah, not for the season. He's coming back.
Oh, God.
He's got a world-class mustache. It's in the Nazi killing business. And he was great in the first half. So he is in the circle of trust.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
To me, he's not. That's fine. He can be in your
fine.
Circle of trust.
He's a badass, so
do
he's
you
in
have
my circle of trust.
Anybody in your circle of trust?
No.
He's got nobody. No. They all stink.
No. Talking about the bullpen?
Yeah.
No.
By the way, the best part about the Mets sweeping the Washington Nationals, the best part. I got two guys from Washington I want in Queens by the end of the day. I would kidnap them. Are you ready?
Who?
Dylan Floro, who's had a great year out of the bullpen.
Okay.
34-year-old reliever, right-hander, filthy. Bring him in. And then number two. The final piece to the puzzle. Sometimes your enemy becomes your friend. Jesse Winker. Bring him home, baby.
Is he on your fantasy team?
No.
No.
He kills the Mets at every turn. He can no longer kill us unless he hits 145. And they could they not use a right fielder right now? Who knows if Starling Marte even exists? I don't know if he exists anymore. Here's an update on Reed Garrett. No structural damage in his elbow. He's dealing with nothing but nerve damage. He'll be down for 2 to 4 weeks. So there you go. Reed Garrett could be a factor when they start to add bullpen arms. But I don't know if three is a realistic number to add, but they could definitely use one or two. That's for sure. Chris in Smithtown. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
What's up, man?
Evan, huge Met and Jet fan here. So it's a pleasure to speak with you. I grew up listening to you and Joe, and
appreciate
every Monday was always like a therapy session. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
I agree with you guys on the Alonso thing. I've been someone who's been down on him, but if they're going to continue to win and be buyers, I don't think you can get rid of him. But what do you think about making a trade for Beatty and maybe getting a bullpen arm for him? Maybe you can bring David Robertson back or someone like that.
It's tough because we giving up on Brett Beatty? Like, are the Mets announcing to the world, you know what, we've optioned him five times, we don't believe in him, so let's sell low and get a 37-year-old reliever back for him. Because a year ago...
Isn't he 39?
39, yeah, I was being nice. guys don't want to be considered
I know what you're saying.
Like, today, I'm 37 today, I don't know if you know that. I'm not.
For the fifth time.
I'm Tom Seaver today. Last year at this time, or during the offseason at this time, or during March at this time, people would have said the same thing about Mark Vientos. He was completely given up on by most Met fans.
Yeah, but I think the Met fan with Mark Vientos also felt like they just hadn't seen him enough.
That's fair.
It feels like Brett Beatty was given a much longer leash. And maybe Mark Vientos wasn't because of the existence of Brett Beatty.
Oh, no question about him.
And so now that Vientos, who, by the way, had another RBI hit today, dude, just he's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you would want from a young third baseman who's now an everyday player. And so, like, that was just a decision that I don't think was in the hands of the skip. It just felt weird how that thing went down with Beatty and Vientos.
Well, to your point, and it is fair, Brett Beatty's had 600 plate appearances, so maybe that is enough to say, you know what, screw it, just get a reliever back for him. Look, at this point, you don't want to trade the top of your top prospects for relievers, even if it is a Tanner Scott or a Mason Miller, but they have to add arms. Strategic arms is the way I look at it. Because I'm not and I'm not calling you stupid, Lugie, so I don't want to use the word stupid. I am not foolish enough to be all in. I don't think that's smart with this team. I'm sorry. I love what they're doing. I'm excited. All in is not the right move with this team. So I would be strategic with this team, which is buy relievers, whether it's they make a lot of money and Steve's using the pocketbook, whether it's trading middling prospects, or it's using starting pitching to kind of entice a team like Cleveland or Houston that's in it to give me a reliever for a starter.
Evan, you could call me whatever name you want. Like, watch this. Evan, you're a chooch. So I don't mind name calling.
It
means you're an idiot, you're a moron, whatever. You're a chooch. So you could call me an idiot all you want. You called me a net negative on the radio yesterday. You compared me to Daniel Murphy.
I took back stupid, Tiki. Did I not?
You did.
I said, I don't want to call you that. That's wrong. And I went to foolish.
There's no takesy-backsies. You called me an idiot in front of millions of people yesterday. So you can't takesy-backsies. Those same people aren't probably listening. It's different listening patterns. The reason I'm all in is this, Evan. I've preached the power of positivity. We all know Positive Tommy is undefeated.
So I will admit Positive Tommy
is Positive
red hot.
Tommy is undefeated. So
he's red hot right now.
I will say this today to you, Evan, to myself, to Gio, if he's listening on the way home, to all the Met fans. Don't make any vacation plans for October. The Mets will be playing baseball.
But now you're just repeating things that you tweeted last night. Like, what was this, like a comedy act? What is this, like a stand-up routine?
The Mets will be playing baseball in October.
Hey, Tiki, do you think the Mets are going to be playing baseball in October?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah, they're in position to make the wild card.
As of right now, it doesn't mean they're going to do it.
They feel hot.
Well, they are hot. You know what they are? And this is the thing that excites me. When they stopped being hot, the key was, can they stabilize? That was my phrasing to you. And over a 17-game stretch, I said, just go 10-7. I need to update where they are in that stretch.
Yeah.
It started with the Houston series. So let me do some quick math. 1-2, 4-4, 6-7. So then 9-7. That doesn't make sense because I said 10-7. I got to redo my math.
I think they're 9-6.
But what's their record since the Houston series?
I think it's 9-6.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, because I feel like I looked at it yesterday.
4 + 3 = 7.
7.
They have 9 wins, and they have 6 losses.
Yes.
My math doesn't add up.
So you're doing this math for the no fun police, right? Yeah. The same people that said you held the concert and you stink?
No,
is that why we're doing the math?
No, you're listening incorrectly. No, I'm talking about when I said on the air they need to go 10-7 into the All-Star break. It was an Evan declaration prior to the OMG concert. It was, I need them to stabilize. They don't have to remain red hot. They just have to play solid baseball.
I mean, I can just look, but...
Yeah, maybe I did my math wrong the entire time.
But OMG was during the Astros.
This has nothing to do with OMG, team.
It was before the Astros.
He said after, though. That's why I'm
questioning. No, he said before.
Oh, sorry.
I know, but this has nothing to do with OMG. On Friday, going into the Houston series, I said, because remember, the Mets are red hot. They just swept the Yankees. They're playing amazing baseball. And my response to Met fans was, guys, I know they're not going to keep this up. What they need to do is just stabilize and just play solid baseball going into the All-Star break. Get above 500. Doesn't have to be crazy. Just play solid. Well, they had a road trip where they went 4-4 right after they went 1-2 against the Astros. So 4-4 means they were 5-7. They're 8-7 in their last 15 games.
There you go.
Okay? And my declaration was they need to go
10-7.
10-7. The math.
It was your declaration, Evan.
I know. Clearly, I did some wrong math. My point is, what I'm happy about is that they have stabilized. Like, they're not, despite sweeping the Nationals, they're not red, red hot. They've stabilized. And that's what they needed to do. And that gives me a lot of faith as they march into this 3-game series against Colorado and then the All-Star break. Real quick, Antoine is calling from Connecticut. How you doing, Antoine?
I'm doing awesome, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Huge fan of yours, Ed, since back in you and Joe.
Appreciate it.
Tiki, you're the man.
Thank you, dude.
I'm a Jets fan. I always tell my kids, man, they should be Giants fans. I'm a big Jets fan. Listen, man, you know, I had to call. You're killing me with this Pete Alonso talk. When you brought up the fact that we should trade Severino, who's been part of this run that we're doing, I understand we got Manaea, you know, we got a couple other guys that are pitching well, but Sebby's running this thing. I want to sign him long term. Pete, I love Pete, but he's no David Wright. He's no Jacob DeGrom. Even Matt Harvey, we got more excited about Matt Harvey than Pete. You know, like, he never comes up in a big spot. You
That's
know, he
not
only
true.
Hits when everybody else is.
That's not true.
I mean, okay.
But Antoine, Antoine, this season he has not been their most clutch player. I will completely agree with that. But when we generalize, this is my problem sometimes when we have arguments about guys like Lindor and Nimmo. We generalize their entire careers. Pete Alonso's had clutch hits as a New York Met. To say he hasn't isn't fair. So, and also what you're doing is you're looking broader. I'm looking simply. Are you excited about this Met team right now?
I'm very excited.
Do you think they can make the playoffs?
Yes. I think they can make the playoffs, especially without Pete.
How do you say that? How do you get to that last part?
Evan, he's not doing anything. Yes, if he comes out of the All-Star break and he's back to Pete Alonso, then hey, maybe we get a run to the World Series. I get that. But I think that we can sign some bullpen arms, keep our starters intact.
Hold on. Let's talk about this season. You say they can win without Pete Alonso. If they eliminated Pete Alonso, who has not had a great year, not arguing that, 240, 780 OPS, 18 home runs, if they eliminate him, who, in your opinion, is taking those plate appearances and at-bats? I'm just curious, since he's gone. Who is it?
Okay, listen. So we bring up Brett Beatty. We put him back at third.
Yeah, that's your answer. How is that replacing it? Like, I get Pete Alonso's not having a great year. No one's arguing that. Do you think Brett Beatty's going to come up and hit to an 800 OPS and have 18 home runs through 91 games? I mean, that'd be amazing if he did that, by the way. That'd be fantastic. Do you expect that?
No.
So when you cavalierly say, we'll be even better without him, how? This is no longer a long-term discussion.
I'm tabling that
because it's irrelevant right now.
The only way you are is if you get something elite back.
You're not.
Exactly.
You're getting middling prospects back. That's what you're fantasizing about? Trading Pete Alonso, not having a great year. I feel like I have to say that over and over again so people don't think I'm like fanboying out about him. No, we're actually having a non-emotional baseball conversation because I like baseball. Brett Beatty's going to replace him, and you feel good. Okay, that's what Antoine thinks.
I think Antoine represents about 20% of the Met fans that hate Pete Alonso. They just don't like the guy. They don't like the antics. They don't like Donnie Diesel. They think he's a doofus. They don't like him, and they want him out of here.
But he's so likable. How is he unlike? I mean, production-wise, I can see why you're frustrated by him, but not liking him doesn't make sense.
There's about 20% of Met fans that just don't like the guy personally. They want him out of here. This guy just suggested that Brett Beatty take over from Brett Beatty. Well, stinks.
Look, here's the reality. I just want Met fans to know this. You always have to know the things in your head. We are now shifting towards a 2024 discussion around Pete Alonso. Do you really think Brett Beatty replacing him, who will be his replacement if they ever traded him for a prospect, do you think that keeps the Mets as a playoff team? The answer is clearly no.
I think what people are saying is that they could stay as a playoff team without him.
Not that
whoever is going to replace him is going to be as good or better, but that they're hot enough that it doesn't matter.
It's hot enough that it doesn't matter, and you want to do this so you can get back the 195th best prospect in Major League Baseball, correct?
Because
that's basically what you're getting back for Pete, since he's having the year you guys are describing. More of your calls coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, Yankee fans, huge night tonight. We'll get you set for the rubber game of that three-game series between the New York Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays. So far, so good on your New York baseball day. The Mets completed the sweep of the Washington Nationals. They got 6 scoreless out of David Peterson, and somehow their bullpen, while they made it ugly at times, pitched 3 scoreless innings. And the New York Mets won 7-0, shutting out a team for the first time all year. They are 2 games above 500, and believe it or not, they are tied for a wild card spot in the National League. There was one other thing happening in baseball today that may meet your interest level, and that is, you know, Paul Skenes, who's like dominating baseball. He is the rookie of the year candidate from LSU.
Yeah. I mean, he basically is rookie of the year.
He was drafted last year.
Yep.
And he's going to be in the All-Star game, right. And he's 6-0 with a 1.9 ERA, and we buried the lead.
Right.
He's dating what's her name?
Livy Dunn. Who's staying at LSU to go make $6 million or whatever her NIL is going to be.
Good for her. And good for him.
I'm barely joking, by the way.
You know what? Good for her. She's making a lot more than Skenes is making.
I guarantee you.
Oh, yeah. Skenes is making the minimum. But Paul Skenes, who's been like this incredible story this year, the Mets faced him a week ago, pitched 7 no-hit innings with 11 strikeouts and was taken out of the game with 99 pitches. And truthfully, I smile about it. it's baseball. I mean, that's where, right. that's the world we live in 2024. So he gave a brilliant performance. I'm sure people were really excited. The game was in Milwaukee, so it wasn't a home game. But they get a bump every time this guy pitches. So Skeens pitches the seven no-hitters. He's taken out. The former Met Colin Holderman comes in, gives up a couple of hits. So there was no no-hitter, but the Pittsburgh Pirates won 1-0, and Paul Skeens continues his magic. But the real story is the red-hot New York Mets. And yes, I am wearing an OMG t-shirt today. And I want to thank my wife. She got it for me. My son's got it for me, too. It was a birthday gift.
Oh,
so thank
nice.
You, honey.
Happy birthday.
Thank
Evan.
You, Spence and Jet.
Again.
OMG, baby. So whether it's Grimace, whether it's OMG.
It is not Grimace.
I know what it is. The real hot streak started today when Cam Thomas threw out the first pitch at Citi Field.
That's definitely
that was
not
the last game of a three-game sweep.
That doesn't
have to do with anything.
Either way, the Mets are red hot, but that doesn't stop the rumor mill. We are 2.5 weeks away from the trade deadline. Jim Bowden says they're getting calls on Pete Alonso. Even though he's essentially off the trade market, the Mets may be strategic. I just had a whole text conversation with a buddy of mine who's I love. He's a great guy, but he's a Yankee fan who always thinks the Mets suck. And he just told me that the Mets should trade J.D. Martinez. They should trade Harrison Bader. They should trade Pete Alonso. Mm. They should trade Sean Manaea. And I'm like, but, you know, they're in a wild card spot. And he's like, Ev, they're not any good. And this is what I had to deal with. And I explained to him, listen, they're not the Philadelphia Phillies. I agree. They're not the L.A. Dodgers. I agree. They're not even the Baltimore Orioles or maybe even eventually the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2024, just make the playoffs. And crazy crap happens.
Anything can happen, as we've seen recently. And right now, the Mets feel like a team that could be that. There's still so much worry, though, because, look, they shut out the Nationals today. 7-0. First shutout of the season.
Yes.
It was coincidentally done by Adam Ottavino. He got the last out, who wears number zero, and they were focusing in on the number zero because
yes.
it was the first shutout of the season. It was kind of cool.
By the way, the other thing that zero is, we have zero confidence that he can get out.
That's right. Yeah, he loaded the bases, by the way.
He did get out of it.
He made it very interesting. But throughout those last three innings, last two innings, I'll say, you were just nervous. Danny Young couldn't find the plate. Ottavino was, I don't know, pass balls. I mean, after the game, he goes up to Lewis Torrens, and he mouths, you could see, you could read his lips, he said, good job.
No.
And the reason he was saying good job was, I was about to throw 16 balls past you. So you got in the dirt and blocked half of them and kept them from being able to score a run. So, yes, they're great right now, but there are still some big holes.
Well, but the big holes is we are now almost 100 games into the season. The Mets have one hole because they're starting pitching. Even if some declared it the worst rotation in the history of baseball,
mm-hmm.
the Met rotation for the course of more than half a year has been solid.
Right.
And oh, by the way, Kodai Senga's coming back. And Christian Scott is here, mm-hmm. even if they're going to restrict him. So you can look at the Met rotation and say, wow, I feel significantly better about it today than I did at the beginning of the season. Their offense has been really good now for over a month and a half. And considering the development of Mark Vientos and Francisco Alvarez and the hotness of Nimmo and Lindor and the solidness of J.D. Martinez, even though he's cooled off at times, you can look at the lineup and say, that's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, there's one area of the team that's struggling,
right.
and that's the bullpen.
That's
it's not
the
like
bullpen.
They got 18 holes. They have one and hole, it's the bullpen.
And it's just certain parts of it, because certain other parts of it are actually pretty good. If Jose Budo is going to be jumping into the bullpen and maybe could be a spot starter at times, and then Edwin Diaz to the extent that he is this year, you feel confident with your closing situation. It's just those fill innings, those not even long innings, but just some of those, you got to get two outs here, or you got to just go get an out. You don't have faith in those guys yet.
No, you're right. And even the last few nights when they've gotten good length from their starting pitchers, mm-hmm. getting those last 6 and 9 outs, it's painful. Now, let's get to your telephone calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Brian in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Evan? I'm a big fan. I'm a Met and Jet fan, too, so I understand your pain.
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
I just wanted to say, can we just give Lindor his freaking flowers already? We paid the guy to be a top three shortstop in baseball, and that's what he is. Always top five in WAR. He's been cleaning up since he's been in the leadoff spot. You know, he always gets off to a slow start, but I can't think of any other shortstop that's better than him other than Corey Seager.
Well, I mean, there are a few. Gunnar Henderson, Bobby mm-hmm. Witt Jr., but that's not even the point. When you say, can we give him his flowers? I've given him his flowers.
Right.
Lugie's given him his flowers. Tiki's given him his flowers. But there are players, because of the money that they make and the expectations that come with them, that will never fully get their flowers. And I will give you a, I think it's a spot-on comparison of a guy who never got his flowers until it was over. And that's Carlos Beltran. Mm. Carlos Beltran, and he turned into one of my favorite Mets because of respect. Because of the way, I love Joe, the way Joe talked about him.
Right.
The way a lot of Met fans talked about him. And so I think with a guy like Lindor, when you get paid that kind of money, and you came with all these expectations, even when you fulfill them, to some, it's never enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... The problem is you go look at the numbers, and that's all people want to talk about. It's like when we had the caller earlier when we were talking about the Giants and Daniel Jones's and the sacks and the number of hits that these guys take. The number is 85 sacks the Giants gave up, which is a ton. But 37 of them were by Tommy DeVito,
right,
who likely ran into some of those sacks. And so context matters. And in baseball, we're lucky because you have advanced metrics. Like, you have these advanced statistics. And while Francisco Lindor's batting average sits at 250 right now, like, you look at his expected batting average, like where he should have been hitting if luck had gone his way, he's up near 280.
Right.
Right. And same thing with Brandon Nimmo. Nimmo's in a very similar situation. And you're starting to see Nimmo and Lindor play to those expected numbers more consistently, which is why you can look at them and say, all right, this is just who they are.
Yeah.
Right. The first, you know, whatever it was, month and a half of the season for Lindor was... It was bad, but it was also an anomaly.
Well, it also
that it lasted that long.
It sucks that he gets off to bad starts.
Right.
Like, and we all rip him for it because it stinks, especially when you're watching it. But that doesn't define the player.
No.
Just like his first season here, which I was very hard on him for, doesn't define his career as a New York Met. He has been a very good Met. And the comparing him to other shortstops game, like, what the hell's the point? Mm. Is he good for the New York Mets? The answer is yes. Is he their MVP of the first half, according to 57% of people who voted on social media this morning when I put that out there? The answer is yes. It's also 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Tommy.
With Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. I think we could all agree that the month of October is the best sports month on the sports calendar. So it had me thinking, the top 5 New York sporting events coming up this October.
Can I ask a real quick question?
Of course.
It is July. Why in the hell are you looking to October?
Oh, Tiki, you're about to find out.
Here we go!
Number 5.
I think based on Tommy's social media and his comments about 15 minutes ago, we know full well why he's thinking of October here in the middle of July. But go ahead.
Number 5, Halloween night. Evan Roberts will be in the building. Jets, Texans, Tyrod Taylor versus C.J. Stroud. Now, do you think Aaron Rodgers will take the night off to go trick-or-treating? Imagine that headline.
Well, I'll give you the headline. As I map out which Jet games I'm going to go to as a Jet season ticket holder, I am ruling out Halloween night against the Houston Texans because it's Halloween.
All right, what if Jet says, but Daddy, I really want to go.
Well,
I can trick-or-treat in the stands. Everybody's going to have candy.
I don't think he's going to do that, but this is a perfect time.
How do you know?
I'm with you, Tiki.
I want to dress up as Aaron Rodgers, Daddy.
It's going to be such a cool
scene. Go to the stadium.
If that's the case.
I want to sit on the 50-yard line, Daddy. We're 5 and whatever at that point. 4, right? I want to go. You're going.
Then I'm going. If I'm not going, I'd like
to... I hope Jet was listening, so he pulls that off.
I hope he pulls it off, too. If he doesn't pull it off, I'd like to politely ask Ryan Hurley if he's okay with us doing the show from home that night so I can take my kids trick-or-treating.
Bad chance.
Number 4.
All right, Evan and I have been in lockstep with this. Yankee fans, you know it, I know it. The Astros are your final boss. So in October, we will get Yankees-Astros once again.
I completely agree. I've been saying that since you guys destroyed them earlier this season. The Astros are not going away quietly. They're obviously going to be active at the trade deadline. The Houston Astros will make the postseason, and at some point, they will look straight into the eyes of the New York Yankees.
And the Astros will win.
Number 3.
The one team
that was sneaky there.
Thank you. The one team that unites this city. The one team that has dudes, that has dogs, that are going to do damage. Mikal Bridges, Brooke Lopez, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, and Keith Van Horn. All the former Nets will be there for Knicks opening night. I cannot wait for basketball season. I just can't wait.
Doesn't Knicks opening night, and it could be on the road, it probably will be,
yeah,
don't they have to open in Boston against the Celtics? Wouldn't you run that if you're the NBA? The Celtics are going to open on TNT still has the deal, right? Doesn't it have to be?
I was thinking Knicks Sixers in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I don't know. Boston, it feels like it's a rivalry, but it's not.
But who would you put in Boston for the Celtics season opener raising the banner game? Like
Denver?
I don't know. I think you go an Eastern Conference rival. And I think the number one contender would be the New York Knicks.
Or it could be the Heat. Or it could be the 76ers, Boston 76ers.
Overrated.
Yeah, I don't know.
Giannis in the Bucks. I'm going to make your prediction.
Honestly, the Knicks and the 76ers feel like the biggest rivalry in basketball.
Totally right now. Respect that. I think Knicks-Celtics opens up the NBA season this year. Anyhow, continue.
Number two.
All right, guys. We sort of alluded to this earlier in the show. October 20th, MetLife Stadium, Giants-Eagles, Saquon's return to New York.
Wow.
That is up there.
That is a big one.
That is a big one.
I didn't realize all this stuff was in these games were in October.
See?
This is why Evan always looks ahead.
Number one.
And number one on the top five New York sporting events coming up this October, the power of positivity. Positive Tommy is undefeated. Mets postseason baseball. Learn to love it.
So you have been on a hot streak.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first to admit it. Positive Tommy has worked. Like, it has completely worked. So I want to ask Positive Tommy on this beautiful July day, how far will this go? Are the New York Mets making the playoffs?
Yes.
Are the New York Mets a wild card team, or are they going to actually catch the Phillies, who they're 13 games back of, and win the NL East?
The NL East is over.
Will the Mets advance out of the first round that they play?
Yes.
Will the New York Mets play in a National League Championship Series this year?
Yes.
Will the New York Mets go to their first World Series since 2015?
Yes.
Wow.
And the rest is to be continued.
That's as far as he'll go. Mm. He won't give us the World Series.
I mean, that's more committed than he was for the Knicks, though.
Yeah. Well,
maybe if he had been more confident and positive with the Knicks might have actually gotten there.
It may be. He never went that far.
He didn't go that far.
I have to play something for you. All right, and tell me if this counts as positivity. Hold on a second. It's on my phone. Let me find it. I can't find it for the life of me. Oh, yeah, I got it. So this is an audio recording that was made today. Today is my birthday. It was made by my mom and my dad.
Okay.
And I think I don't need to ask permission. I think they'd be okay with me playing this. But tell me if this fits in the positivity.
Okay.
Okay? So you will hear my mom play piano, and you will hear my father sing. And tell me, Loogie, if this excites you in terms of maybe you're right about the Mets. Take a listen to the beautiful dulcet tones of my father.
Tom Siva Day. This is going to be a very special one because our family has started a trend. Our family is starting to see championships.
Gavin, hold on a second. Gavin, my nephew, is a Florida Panther fan, and they won the Stanley Cup. Just so you know why the family is starting to see championships.
Good addition there.
Remember that whole thing? My sister, a Panther fan? All right, let's continue.
Championships. Gavin has his, and you're next. I can't tell you what team. I can tell you it's not going to be the Nets. But you're going to get one.
All right, so my dad proclaiming I'm going to get a championship at age 41. Uh-huh. Not the Nets, by the way. Great addition by him. Does that make you believe even more?
Forget the voice of your father, the precision of your mom.
Oh, she's a piano. She's great at the piano.
She's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Oh, it's great.
She has one of those music ears.
No missed strikes, no nothing.
Where you can hum
her
a song.
Slowed down when your pops had to like chill up a little bit. She slowed down for him, kept the pace right.
She has this musical ear where you can hum a song and she will play it on the piano. Huh. So I could play like the Stone Cold Steve Austin song to her and she will just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Nah, that's amazing. So does this make you believe that this is the year?
No.
But it's my Tom Seaver day.
I know, but no.
No.
No. No. I'm too much of a practicalist.
I mean, you got to give him credit. He ruled out the Nets already.
Well, he's not an idiot. Is it safe to say, though, the Mets are your number one team for your father? That's his favorite team?
Oh, for my dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's an old-timer, and I think a lot of the old-timers, they tend to be negative. You could hear it in his voice. You could hear it in his voice. He believes in the Mets.
I think he believes partially in the fact that his grandson saw his favorite hockey team that he's been rooting for 5 minutes win a Stanley Cup. And I've always been a believer that things come in bunches. I've always said that. Like, if the Mets won the World Series this year, I would be fully convinced the Jets are winning the Super Bowl. I don't know if Beningo would get that far, but I would. I'm telling you right now, like, the day we come in and we do the Mets show and I'm going crazy and I'm on a float and all that, I would look at you at some point and say, Tiki, we're winning the Super Bowl. And you'd probably have the same reaction.
I'd exactly have the same reaction.
You would just start laughing. But
you still got to beat the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, let's not talk logically now.
Baltimore Ravens with the MVP. And, you know, just a couple teams in the AFC you got to worry about.
What is a better chance of happening? The New York Jets winning the Super Bowl or the New York Mets winning the World Series? It's a fair question.
I think, honestly, the Mets.
You think the Mets?
Yeah.
Because of the sport?
Just because of the nature of the winners. Over the last, we had a caller call earlier, and we didn't get to him because we weren't even talking about what he asked, but I saw this because Tommy screens so well.
He screens a lot of calls. Sometimes we don't get to.
Actually,
I apologize.
Connor might have screened this one. Whatever it was, he was asking how many quarterbacks were drafted by the teams that they won the Super Bowl with. And so I did the quick math,
right?
So, and I'll just go back to 2000 because it's equals 25 Super Bowls. I'll throw out 2000 because that was Kurt Warner,
right?
And the Greatest Show on Turf. He was picked up there. He wasn't really drafted there. Mm-hmm. So he's the anomaly. Of the remaining 24 games, 17 of them were a quarterback that was drafted by that team.
That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. But the reason it's so high is because seven of them are Peyton May, or seven of them are
Tom Brady.
And the recent three are 10 of them Tom Brady, and the three
with
Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
It's these elite Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
But you saw Tom Brady leave, Peyton Manning leave and win championships, Matthew Stafford leave. So
my point is, that one guy is still here.
Yeah, that's incredible.
He's still here.
That's incredible.
And so I can't see the Jets getting over that.
Las Vegas, or FanDuel, which is the app I use, completely disagrees with you. The Jets' odds right now of winning the Super Bowl is 20-1. The Mets' odds of winning the World Series, 70-1.
Yeah, but that's because they're looking at how they play. They're not looking at the history of the game.
I understand. Well, yeah, you're right. If they looked at the history of the game, the Jets would have no chance to win a Super Bowl.
No, I mean, I'm seeing how it's evolved.
No,
right? In the NFL,
point.
Unless you are, let's go through it. Pat Mahomes, Matt Stafford, who some people think is a Hall of Famer. I don't necessarily agree, but whatever. He's a great quarterback. Tom Brady with Tampa. Pat Mahomes. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
A really good Philadelphia. Nick Foles is a different story. But again, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning. Tom Brady. The great Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Right? Like, think about what won Super Bowl.
No, you're right.
And so it's you had to have a great quarterback.
Here's the beauty of sports. The Mets are 47-45. We're talking about World Series.
But we saw the Arizona Diamondbacks get there last year, and nobody thought that.
I got a great idea for a bridge show, Luke. When's your next bridge show, by the way? I know the Yankees kind of, they take the Lugauer away from you, which is unfortunate. Oh, the All-Star break's coming up.
So I'll have four next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Got a great bridge show for you. Not going to do this here on The Fan with Evan and Tiki. Mm-hmm. We'd definitely not do it on the Rico, but I think this is up Loogie's alley because I know what Loogie is becoming, and I respect it. Mm. Here's your Lugauer. You ready?
The future?
Well, he is the future.
Generational talent.
You say to Yankee fans, hey, Yankee fans, will it piss you off if the Mets beat the Astros in the World Series?
Oh, I like that.
You like that one?
Oh, I like that.
Could use that one.
I like that.
Like, hey, Yankee fans, can't beat them, but if the Mets do it, would that kill you?
That's perfect for next Wednesday.
There we go. Rob is in Floral Park. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how you doing? You gotta trade Alonzo.
But
it's not even close.
Why?
He is a terrible first baseman.
Not true.
The defensive negative.
No, you're wrong.
His defensive war is negative.
I don't give a rat's ass what the defensive war says because I watch him every day and I don't see it. Now, you could accuse me of being blinded by, I guess, fandom, but I watch him every day and I'm not telling you he's elite. I'm not telling you he's Keith Hernandez. I would never say that to you. But I don't see him as this subpar oof at first base. That's just me. But
well,
continue
on. I think you don't see it costing games. I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the issue that he doesn't make the plays. He overextends.
Okay.
The day last week, Sean Manaea balls to the right side.
Yep.
Easy play for second base. He overextends to prove a point. He doesn't make a long toss. Manaea misses first. It's the overextension to try and prove that
he has. First of all, that's ridiculous. So he has struggled on what they call the spring training play, the 3-1 put out, if you will. He's had a tough time all season long with some of those throws. I'll admit that that is a kind of a struggle in his game. But to say it happens because he's trying to prove something is ridiculous. I also think his scooping ability at first base is pretty damn good.
Right, it's gotten a lot better.
I'm not saying he's Keith Hernandez or he's Rico Bronya, but the act of calling in and saying essentially he sucks at first base, and I get it, defensive metrics back you up. That's why I specify, maybe I'm an idiot. I don't see it. And in where the Mets are right now, and where Pete's value is right now, I cannot see how it makes sense to trade your cleanup hitter. Yes, he's having a lousy season or a subpar season. And trading him when his value is at its lowest for what? A middling prospect that diminishes your chances of making the postseason? Like, it doesn't make sense.
No, I agree with that. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But, I this was not, I don't think this is real. I think this was floated to get an emotional reaction.
I agree.
This was something that just... let's take the temperature of where the Met fan is.
I agree. I don't think they're trading him at the deadline, and I think that the off-season discussion is the off-season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done talking about that. Like, I spent a lot of time during the off-season with you. We talked about what they should do, should they sign him and all that. To me, it's not even a thought now. It's all about this team right now, and then during the off-season, trust me, we'll have a much better idea on what they should or shouldn't do with Pete Alonso. We'll come back with more of your calls. Plus, we'll check in on the Yankee lineup tonight as they play that big rubber game against Tampa Bay. And why, even though last night was a very ugly Yankee victory, why I believe it's the beginning of a hot streak. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.